always tell people that are owning properties, that are listening, that are looking to maximize, or even maybe struggling a little bit, that they're a lot closer to success, most people are, than they really realize.
Yeah, and especially at probably the price they bought at and the loan terms that they have,
because
we're buying high and high interest rates, and we're going to make it work. So if they bought their house 3 years ago, they could have saved a couple hundred thousand dollars and gotten a much lower interest rate.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm
Grace. And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Mort, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews, and we got the pleasure of having Shane and Danielle Peterson joining us in studio because we got some local Utahns joining me today. So welcome, guys.
Thanks. Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited about this conversation. This is going to be a fun one because a lot of people, especially right now in the vacation rental world, are going to relate to your guys' story a little bit. And it's really coming in and kind of maximizing properties you already had that weren't really doing too bad in the first place, and we're just kind of raising the bar on it. So I'm really excited to talk about that today.
Yeah, we're excited how they're doing.
Yeah,
It's been a good process.
It's been good. Awesome. Yeah. We'll definitely dive into that process. Tell me the background, though. Why don't you guys start with, you know, who you are, where you're from, I kind of spoiled it that you're from Utah here, in our backyard, but it's like, what pays the bills? What got you interested in investing in real estate in general? What got you guys into short-term rentals? Because you guys already had some short-term rentals when we met.
Yep.
And so, and then we were trying to, like I said, we're maximizing those assets right now, but talk to me a little bit about the journey into the game.
Yeah.
I think we've always been interested in real estate.
Yeah, we have. At least for the last 10 or 15 years. Yeah.
It just took us a long time to get into it. So our first rental was,
we read the Kiyosaki books Robert Allen and got excited about it, and then always wanted rentals to just be passive income for us and support ourselves. And so we started in 2018. Mm-hmm. So when we finally were able to make the move, we bought a new house, kept the old one, rented it out long-term rental. And that was a lot of work and a lot of headache for not very much money.
Right.
And it wasn't a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then we started figuring out a little bit of things with short-term rentals. And about that same time, the company that Shane was in sold. And so we had a little bit of cash, and we decided to sell the long-term rental. And we ended up buying two rentals at the same time, deciding to short-term rent them out.
Yeah. So and that was right after COVID.
Yeah.
That's during COVID.
During COVID. Yeah. Like right in the middle of it,
I guess. 2020.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, smack dab in the middle.
Right before prices went insane.
Yeah. Okay.
We were able to buy one in St. George, and then we bought one in Orlando, which are both places that we love to go.
Yeah.
And they were both good size homes because we wanted to take our families down there, and we were super excited about all of that. So
we are already on the track of wanting like a lifestyle asset that we could go and visit with our family, but then also make money off of. Our long-term rental wasn't very exciting. So then I think about this time is when Danielle found some of your podcasts and started following you.
Yeah. We didn't join Vodacy yet, but I kind of just followed you for several years as we were like setting these up, and we were going through the process, and we were thinking, okay, we've got this. We were going through thinking about all the tiny details. We thought we were.
from the outside looking in, we thought we were checking all the boxes,
right? We thought we were, and they were doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So we had them up and going.
They weren't perfect. There were hiccups.
Yeah. But. Yeah. And then it was a year and a half ago that our property in Orlando, our property manager just kind of fumbled several times, and it just crashed. And we knew.
And they missed our big booking season. Like in Orlando, everybody books their summer trips between Christmas and Valentine's.
Yeah. Right.
And about Valentine's is when we figured out that he had fumbled hard and we didn't book our summer.
What kind of fumbles? What were some of
the
mistakes?
They changed our hero image from being, I mean, we had some amazing theme rooms in the house, and they changed that from being one of the theme rooms to just being a picture of the couch. So,
so our hero image on our listing was a couch.
Was the living room couch where that everybody else is showing? And
I mean, it has
nothing
a private
exciting
pool.
About it. In Orlando, you're in a market like those are two totally different markets. St. George and Orlando. I mean, one's like a backyard resort community of Salt Lake, and we love it down there. We love the desert. We own a property down there, and you know, you've got the national park, so we have a lot of visitors coming in, but it's nowhere near like an Orlando market, which is probably the most competitive market in the nation.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's its own animal. It's completely different.
We had amazing theme rooms and amazing bunk rooms, and so to have the couch, and it has a private pool and an awesome game room, so to have the couch on there, we were like, well, that was a pretty big...
That explains why we didn't get our bookings.
Yeah.
So you recognize that.
Did you guys recognize it right out of the gate, or did you just recognize it when the booking stopped?
When the booking stopped. Going through and trying to figure out, okay, what has happened?
Mm-hmm. And we reached out to them and said, hey, something going on. And they're like, no, just the industry as a whole is down.
Yes.
And they kept giving excuses as to why they were fine. And then when we finally figured out, okay, I think this is the reason.
So then we pulled up the Airbnb listing. And we were like, well, let's go look at it and see if we can figure out what's wrong. And the first picture was a couch.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, that makes sense.
There it is.
That makes a lot of sense. So then we lost a lot of confidence in that property manager as well. And we started thinking, okay, we've got to do something. Maybe we take over this more and we really dive in. And that house was profitable, but we also knew it had a lot more potential.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't being... we weren't maximizing that house. And so we wanted to figure out a way to really maximize our profits in that house. So that's when we decided that we were going to really seriously look into joining Vodacy and talking to you more. And
so that's when we reached out and we started talking and figuring out, like...
Hey guys, real quick, we are seeing record amounts of money being spent by guests visiting short-term rentals across the board, yet many property owners are struggling to make the money that they want with those properties. So if your property is not performing like you'd hoped and you're crossing your fingers thinking that maybe it's going to get better soon, then you're going to be very, very disappointed because your property is performing exactly how you have it set up to perform. The good news is you're probably a lot closer to making money than you realize. I just hosted a live 3-day workshop on how to revitalize a struggling property where I covered the only 3 things that you need to dial in to succeed at the top of the short-term rental markets. And I'm going to send it to you absolutely free for being one of our podcast listeners. In these recorded trainings, I give you actionable steps on what you need to do to turn your property around and make the money that you've been hoping for. So you can get access to this free training by sending us an email to support@vodacy.com. Once again, send that email to support@vodysse.com to get your free training today.
How do we improve this? How do we fix this?
Right.
Because that was the straw that broke the camel's back for that property manager.
And to your guys' credit, I remember when you guys joined and we came up here and we started talking and we looked at stuff and we were like, okay, there were things that we could do different, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the market was bad. It wasn't that the consumer stopped spending money down there, which so many owners are hearing right now.
Yeah.
Really, since you guys joined, really, it's been the same for the last couple of years. As soon as that COVID bubble kind of started going back out, the bubble didn't go out, what happened is supply caught up with demand, right?
Yep.
And so there's more supply in most of the markets, but the demand has continued to go up. We're chasing it with an equal amount of supply. And so if the consumer keeps spending money, and the consumer is saying, hey, we're willing to pay for good properties here. We have to figure out how to put our best foot forward. And that's where you guys, it's so easy to just sit on something that you know is okay. It's good, right?
Yeah.
You weren't losing money on it. It wasn't like, okay, we're gonna foreclose on this tomorrow if we don't figure out how to make more money. That wasn't the situation you were in. But you also were, and to your guys' credit, it's really hard for a lot of people to take a good property and go to a great property, or take a property that's like, hey, listen, I know there's more in here. I know there's more potential. Like, what do we need to do? And especially when you talk about joining like a group like Vodacy or something else, it's expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a big commitment. And you're like, I could put this in the property and I could keep trying to do this, or I could learn how to do it. So talk to me about we recognized one big change with the Puro photo and that stopped the scroll, and we're like, okay, we're not stopping the scroll with the couch, right? We got way better stuff and things to really articulate what we have to offer. But then when we dove in, it was like another level of saying, okay, let's do this and this, but I want you to do it this way.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? right?
Because
you dove in and did a lot of it yourself, and you did a great job with it, but that's a big job, right? What I was asking you to do.
Oh, it's big.
Yeah,
and
it is.
Knew it was big getting into it, but I think it was a lot more work than we were even expecting. But it was fun. We have so much fun in that process. So
we love the process.
Yeah.
We loved when we came down and we talked with you. That was so helpful, and we were so grateful for that time because that helped us figure out, okay, let's do a two-step process. The first one was going down, using the house just as it is, but adding color touches and redoing the pictures so that you're getting, you know, the pictures in the Vodacy style. So my mom and sisters and I went down like as soon as we had an opening, and we did the whole photo shoot and we set it all up, knowing that we'd only use those pictures for a few months.
Right.
But that was
like
great.
A lot of work for a few months.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
But in a market like that, it's a lot of extra money, right? It's still worth it.
Yeah.
We needed it. It wasn't going to be till September before we could go down and do like the full switchover and fire the property manager. And so we couldn't afford to go through our summer months and not make money.
Right.
And so we needed to do something.
And we needed the bookings to start coming in because we didn't have very many bookings. And so as soon as we went down and we did that photo shoot and we changed everything, we started to get the summer bookings.
Yeah.
And then we had it set up so that we'd go back in September and we do all of the rest of the Vodacy touches and change over the property manager. And then I started going through and kind of stalking other hosts that were doing amazing down in Orlando. And then I started reaching out to them, and I had watched a lot of your hints and tips and tricks on how to go through that process.
Yeah.
And we ended up finding a really great partner that's boots on the ground down there. And he has his own properties that he's doing fantastic with that we were able to partner up with. And that's turned into a really great partnership with him.
Yeah.
And so in September we went down, and as a family, we did a ton of artwork.
12-hour days.
Yeah.
For a week.
Yeah, with our boys.
Really hard.
And our boys were learning how to hang up art. They were learning how to put lights behind the art and all the electrical pieces
all
and components that we were doing together. It was a lot of work.
It is, isn't it? It's a lot of work. You learn a lot along the way. You're like, okay, you learn what doesn't work and what does work. The first picture, it seems like you do it three times, I feel like. And then you kind of figure out how to, like, how the rhythm works and what you're doing, right?
Yeah,
but it's still a lot to do. And so we go down, we do the full, like, Vodacy signature type property look, right, with custom artwork and everything else in September. Then you redo the photos, right?
Yes.
So we're redoing all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then to launch, so you went down in September. When was the launch after?
We actually went down the last week of August.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the official launch was
first part of
two September. Days after Labor Day. So what was that, like the 4th of September last year?
We actually kind of timed it. So we had this idea that we've wanted to do for a long time, to take our boys and to go through Europe for a month and to do work and school from Europe. And so September was our month to do that. And that also ended up being our month to
launch
the property.
Yeah.
So we launched it remotely while we were in Europe.
And we told ourselves, I mean, that was one of our hesitations, to leave our property managers, like, oh, the timing to do it is September and we're going to be in Europe for a month. We just can't do it.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to the point where it's like, we have to do this. We need to make the better income. We need, like, it can perform better and we want it to perform better.
And part of that process is, like, at a certain point, you just get to where you just got to dive in and do it.
Yeah,
so
the timing's never perfect.
Never.
Yeah.
Never is, right? I don't care. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, it's just never the right time. It never feels like the right time. And we can either use that as an excuse to not do it and say, well, it just wasn't the right time, that's why I couldn't do it, right? Or we just battle through it and get it done. And I always say, I'm curious, I mean, you guys are like the poster children for this statement that I believe, is I feel like every time you make a decision or anytime you're running down a road, you get two choices. We get the easy road and we can say, hey, listen, this path is easier, I can choose this path, or I can choose this path that's less travel and it's harder in the beginning and it's gonna be, I gotta make some sacrifices and decisions along the way. But those two roads at the end of the day lead down two different paths, and the easy road usually leads down to a much harder path long term, because I chose the easy road in the beginning. All of a sudden I'm got struggling property, I'm trying to figure this out, and I didn't do the things in the very beginning. You choose the harder path, there's a lot of work in the beginning, but now that it's done, it's a lot easier because the property performs and it starts to become like it not necessarily self-sufficient, but it becomes much easier to operate that type of property. But I think it's true in everything, not just our decisions with the properties.
Yeah. There's a quote that I really love that came to mind while you were saying that, is the enemy to good is or the enemy to great is good.
Exactly.
And sometimes we get stuck that it's good enough, and we're just going to stay in the zone of good enough when really if you go through those hard things, you can get it to being great. And I think some of the exciting part for us is going through this whole process. It's repeatable, and we know exactly what we changed. We know exactly what to do again next time, and we can repeat the exact same process.
Yeah, there's no question about what made the difference.
So we've been super excited. We actually just went down last week.
And we have another one under contract in
Orlando. Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah, and we've got an amazing, because you have to do these custom rooms down in Orlando. Yeah. And we have an amazing custom designer that we're super excited to work with. He can basically take anything that Shane and I dream up.
We'll throw our ideas into AI and then give it to him, and he's like, "Yeah, okay, I'll build that."
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, we're super stoked about this next one.
Another big property.
Yeah, it's the same floor plan, size, but it's in a different neighborhood.
The neighborhood's closer to Disney, so it's going to perform better. Yeah. So, yeah, we used the Vodacy calculators a lot, like the calculators that you produce to analyze properties and figure out which resort to buy in and. Right. And we've narrowed it down, and now we send our real estate agent, we pick five houses and say, go look at them.
Right, right. It's funny because, you know, I always just kind of in the back of my head kind of not laugh, but I hear all sides of the stories, right? I hear as much as we're dialed into the industry and as many people as we talk to, and there's so many people that are like, oh, you can't make any money in Orlando anymore. You can't make any money in that market. You got to get out. It's too saturated. It's too crowded. It's only competing on price and blah, blah, blah. And I said, this is just marketing 101. If you become a commodity, you will only compete on price, and it's going to be a struggle. And that's every market. It's not just Orlando. And then you guys are like, hey, listen, we just bought another property because we figured out this recipe works. We know how to plug in and tap into something that's working. And we have the confidence now to just continue to go when a lot of people are just saying, hey, market's changed. Stay out of there. Don't do it. And we know that's not true, which is why I want to make that point, because there's a lot of people that just think that.
And it's kind of exciting because we can go through and look at these houses, and I can almost pinpoint how much that house is making gross annually just from looking at the pictures in the current state. But then we also know that we know all the changes to make to that house, and we know exactly where it will perform after we've made all those changes. Yeah. So we can go down and we can find these other property owners that just want out.
Yeah, they're selling because they're competing on price, and they're just a commodity.
Yeah.
And we can look at it and say, okay, with a little bit of work and a little bit of effort and our know-how, we can transform this into something that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I always say, I truly believe this. I think 2025, 3 years from now, we're going to look back and say it was one of the best short-term rental buying opportunities that we've ever seen, because there's a lot of people that have really good properties that are way closer to success than they think because they've got the right property, right location, everything they need pretty much dialed in except for that last 10%.
Yeah.
And they're not putting that last 10%. And you guys are just speaking directly to that, saying you have seen the results of the last 10%. You know the difference in what that makes in your in your pocketbook. And so you're saying, hey, listen, these guys are struggling, but we know what we can do to this and bring it, you know, raise the bar and get that where it needs to be to optimize and maximize that property.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we have so much fun in the process. Like Shane and I really love creating experiences together and we kind of feed off of each other.
Like Disney and Universal, like that's what we love is the whole immersive experience. Yeah. And so doing these houses in Orlando is perfect because you add a couple of those bedrooms, you do an arcade and a theater room, and it's fun for us because we love to create the experience, but it's awesome for guests.
Yeah, and we make these really cool immersive rooms, and Shane does sound system, and we've studied Disney's tips and tricks on how they do, like with sound, they'll do the main song, but then they put little sound effects in there, so Shane will overlay it with the sound effects so that you're getting this multi-layer immersive experience that you don't even realize is going on.
And that's because that's kind Shane's of subconscious. Background, right? That's what that's your, or did you just like,
is I'm
that
a just, programmer, so that's actually
that's
like,
not your background.
No, that's just, it's fun for me. It's exciting.
Yeah. So you just like, okay, I'm going to geek out on this and really bring it to life.
Yeah. I mean, we start geeking out about it in our own house with doing, really cool Halloween parties years
ago. Yeah, okay.
And we'd have hundreds of people come
through. Oh, I need to tell Teresa. Teresa's favorite holiday is Halloween. She goes all out on Halloween. So I have to, but we don't have sound effects everywhere. I have some fog machines I set up, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah. It's an experience.
That's awesome.
But I mean, our goal is with these homes is get to the point where people love them and it extends the parks to where they're staying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've even gotten reviews from people where they've said, halfway through the day at the Disney park, the kids are saying, can we go back to the house, please? Because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. And that's the experience that we've put together.
You know, it's funny when we set these properties up, people always ask us, we do such a good job of setting them up. Then we do our lifestyle photo shoots to try to kind of sell the experience, not just the property.
Mm-hmm.
And because marketing is all about attracting a customer, converting a customer, but then really the money's made on retaining a customer. And some of the things you're talking about right now, they don't show up in photos, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a review, somebody's talking about how cool it was, but the customer or the prospective customer can't internalize it. They can't feel it till they're there. And what you do is you did a great job. They walk in and they're not disappointed because now there's more. It's like these Easter eggs that they get into the property and they're like, oh, there's more than what we thought because this thing lights up and there's sound everywhere and there's things going on. And that just helps on the retention because other people aren't doing that, right? And it's like because there's a lot with AI and everything else, there's a lot of people that are making properties look really, really good. And I think you're going to see more and more of this. We're on the front end. They look amazing, and the guest shows up, and they're like, I think I booked the wrong property, right? Like, this isn't the right property, and that's exactly not what you want to do, right? Because I have people ask me that all the time. They're like, well, why don't you use this, or why don't you use AI here and do this? And I'm like, listen, well, I want the consumer to walk in thinking, this is exactly what I thought, but better, right? Mm-hmm. And it when you're adding elements like that, that's exactly what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think this next house we're kind of excited about too because it has one of those elements that it's right on a lake, and so you get these sunset views or sunrise views over the lake, which some of these themed houses you don't necessarily highlight the pool quite as much as in other markets.
Yes.
But we know from experience that when guests are down there staying, being right on the lake, having the pool that you're out there in the lanai and you can see the lake right there is going to be an awesome experience. So it won't necessarily bring in a ton of extra bookings being right on the lake like it would in other markets. Yeah. But we know it will enhance the guest experience while they're there.
And it's what's going to bring the 5-star reviews.
Yeah. Like you said, the reviews, retaining customers, getting people coming back. Because once you have these properties for 2 or 3 years, you've got enough repeat customers if you've done a good job to really start running your own business, right? Really start to say, hey, listen, we become a little bit more of a waitlist property, and we're really dealing with mostly return customers instead of always eating what we kill on the front end every time, you know? And so especially when you deliver such an amazing experience, you want to make sure you've got that back end piece plugged in so that they come back because they're going to want to come back. But a lot of times our guests, even if they want to come back, if we don't do a good job of staying in front of them and staying top of mind, they're not going to come back, you know, because it's hard to find. Imagine going and trying to find your own property in a market like Orlando. But what if you're a guest that's coming back a year later trying to find you? It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there are so many homes.
Yeah. And so let's shift to the process on St. George, and then I want to come back and talk about both of them again.
But, yeah.
So talk to me about a similar process on St. George, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Our property manager in St. George is fantastic. They do a great job, but we still felt like there was room for us to improve. And I think, you know, going through some of the courses, we realized some of those pieces that were missing. And so we went down the end of May last year, right after Memorial Day, spent 3 or 4 days in the property and just hung art and like did the big dramatic Vaudesi art and just really upscaled the property a lot.
And then we spent the day doing getting the photo shoot ready because it's really it's a
like,
lot of time to get ready for those photo shoots.
Yeah,
I think it's something that's so underestimated.
House.
Yeah, when you have 5 or 9 bedrooms that trying to set up, so
different times of day too.
Yeah,
you know, because sometimes you want the twilight, sometimes you want that you know full sun. It's a lot.
And that photo shoot was kind of fun too because the photographer that we had, he was great, but sometimes he wasn't quite catching my vision of how I wanted some of the close-ups to create the experience. So there were a few photos that I went, I'm not a photographer, so I can't get it to turn out when I touch the button, but I can see it in my mind. So I would stand right where I wanted the picture and crouch down and say, I want you to get right here, zoom in right here, make this in focus, and the rest not in focus, and take this shot. And so he did that several times, and he was like, oh, yeah, that turned out to be a great shot.
That's so awesome. And it's, let's talk about lifestyle photography, because you went through it, you know, you did it once with your sisters and your mom and your sisters, you said. Yeah. And then this one, you guys went down as a family and did this one you brought in a photographer, but you set the scenes and you do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we call them lifestyle photo shoots. And I think you're exactly right. People underestimate the difficulty of, and the time it takes to do a really good photo shoot, you know. And like, I have people attempt it all the time, and I'm like, you're just not getting it. You're missing. It didn't. I see you're setting the charcuterie boards out, and you're putting the wine out, or you're putting the pop out, or whatever you're doing. It's not landing, right?
And it was all the tiny details that we learned as we went through that, because we'd have the waffles, but I put whipped cream on it the first time and it would melt. So then I tried freezing it, and then that was okay. So then the next time I did shaving cream, and then the shaving cream would hold for a while. So it was kind of this learning process too, but it's lots of tiny little details everywhere.
Yes.
But
they make the difference. Right?
Yeah, they really do.
And this one was one that, again, like you said, you loved your property manager. They did a great job. But you just realized, hey, listen, we can raise the bar. And I love this about you guys, is as an investor, as an owner, you didn't blame the property manager for it. You looked and said, what can we do? It's our house. What can we do to raise the bar here? What can we do to maximize the property and give our property manager all the tools they need to succeed with it, right? I expect them to do an amazing job delivering it, great reviews, and doing a good job with what we've given them. But you're not saying, hey, listen, why don't you go do this for me? This is your job, right? And you didn't take that approach, which I really appreciate, because that's not how I look at our relationship with property managers either. It's my job to give them a good property with all the marketing assets, with the entire experience, you know, set up and curated, and then they just deliver it every time, right?
Yeah. I think the other thing that we underestimated were all the tiny details, and I thought that I had thought of so many things when we first launched the house. And then going through the Vodacy course, I realized there was just a whole other level of things to think about and little tiny details to set out for the guests that aren't even in pictures and that you don't even know until you stay in the house. But adding all of those tiny touches and details is what makes the guest feel like they're taken care of and they have everything that they need when they're in the house.
Yeah, that's awesome. I you know, I always tell people, you don't pay us for like all the stuff we know. Like, I'll give anybody, and like, there's no secrets, right? My point of it, but I don't know what you don't know yet, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of details that we go through that are just like, hey, I don't know where you're at. And you guys were pretty, you guys are very detailed people, right? In general, like you're not like just like freewheeling this. Like, you guys are doing research, you're diving in, you're really understanding it. You're very hands-on, which is awesome. You very much understand the process intimately with the setup and everything else, which I think is great. I've gotten a little bit more lazy over the years where I send somebody to do all that stuff now. But it's like all Mike's artwork, like we have our 1% club out here, our wall of fame that you guys saw in the office. And Mike came in one time and he hung about a third of the plaques up and on the wall, and then they're just sitting in the other room, because he's like, when are you gonna finish that? It's not that hard. I'm like, I haven't been hanging pictures for a long time, so I don't want to mess it up. So let's talk about performance. We were talking a little bit before, you guys are tracking your performance as well in a market that a lot of people would say is declining, which I completely disagree with, but because the consumer is still spending a lot of money. But talk to me about the lift that you saw, because one of them's been just over a year now on the St. George one. The other one's not quite a year since the big turnover, right? Or switchover.
Yeah.
But you've seen some number differences.
Yeah. So we've definitely seen an increase in St. George. I haven't sat down and calculated what that is. But it's definitely an increase. But Orlando, where we're really tied into it because we're self-hosting,
right?
I've run the numbers. Now, it hasn't been a whole year yet, but if I project it out to the year, we're talking about a 30 to 40% gain over last year.
Wow. That's huge.
It is huge, especially when all of that is, we were already profitable before.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So it's a pretty good return on that investment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It paid itself all off in 1 year.
Yes.
That's awesome. And so, yeah, so you're getting 100% payback in the first year, but then you're going to run with that for 5 to 7 years before you probably need to do a redo,
right?
An update. And that's our goal, is to say, hey, listen, I want to get a good 5 to 7 year run on this before I have to really redo a property and update a property. And so that's awesome. St. George, you guys are, it's kind of more hands-off turnkey. Like, hey, listen, we know we're putting a little bit more in our pocket, but we don't quite know exactly that.
Haven't run the numbers. Our occupancy is higher, like in July.
Oh yeah. It's definitely much higher in occupancy.
We only have 3 nights available in July.
Right.
And we're getting further out bookings now. Are you? which we hadn't done.
Properties booked out.
Yeah. We're getting like fall break and Thanksgiving booked long in advance, which we hadn't.
Are you keeping prices higher on those ones? Do you know? You probably aren't dialed in on the pricing as much if your property manager.
No, we actually went to the property manager and said, hey, we try to balance it and say, let's go for a higher occupancy because I want to see if we can get a better overall gross revenue.
Right.
So we do have that option.
Yeah.
But we wanted to this year experiment and just say, okay, what if we dial the numbers like down just a notch and see what we can do.
And jump up occupancy.
Yeah, jump up occupancy.
So keep numbers. Don't push our prices as much. Keep prices either level or maybe even aggressive to try to push occupancy and see what that does.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, it's which is, let's talk about that for those listening. There's an inverse relationship between prices and occupancy, right? And what Shane's talking about, saying, hey, listen, yeah, I know if I push my price, my occupancy is going to drop, right? And if I lower my price, my occupancy is going to go up. And we're balancing whether this is really important. I always prefer, if the market allows it, to push my price and have a lower occupancy for my highest revenue. If the market will support it, I always try that first. Because I want less wear and tear on my property for the most amount of money, right?
Yep.
However, there's some markets that don't. St. George may very well be a property maximizes, where you keep prices a little bit more down or normal levels with a really good property, and then you get way higher occupancy. And it'll be interesting. I'd love to get an update on that from you guys as we go
through
that.
And we feel like there's a lot of, I would say, like guest equity in St. George. We only know the two markets, Orlando and St. George. If we lower the prices in Orlando, we tend to get a very difficult and very hard on our property guest in. But St. George, we feel like the quality of guests there, even if you lower the price, are still high quality guests.
Yeah.
And easier to, and they're not difficult to please. They're not harder on the property. There's more people there. So you do have that extra wear and tear. And so we felt like we had the equity in St. George that we could make that experiment and adjustment.
See how it goes. And then hopefully next year be able to ease it up a little bit too.
Yeah. And you'll test it. And this is why I am never a fan of just blanket statements that you hear online about when you should discount, what you should do with pricing, because every market is so different. And it's different between different size properties within those markets because the guests are different. I have the property in Georgia, and the first year we averaged $378 on average nightly rate and 78% occupancy. Well, the average occupancy in the market was only 56%. And so I'm like, okay, I'm way too high. I got to push those prices and bring my occupancy down. So January and February, I started pushing my prices. If I got it above 400, I heard crickets. I could not get it booked. And so the market was just telling me, hey, listen, we're just not going to do it. And I was really stubborn for 2 months. I just kept saying, hey, listen, I want to be 450 on that market. Well, I mean, I was down. My revenue was down significantly from year over year. We became from, you know, basically zero to the number one property in that market that in 2024. For 2 months, I didn't get a booking because I was trying to push that price above 400. And the market was saying, hey, listen, that's a threshold for us. And so even though I was so close to it, you would think, okay, $22 isn't going to make that big a difference. And, you know, but I have to operate at a much higher occupancy in that market than I do in other markets to make the best gross revenue. And so it is testing it. And you might find that in St. George, and I would actually, if I would bet that St. George is going to be a very similar market like that. We have our property down there. It's very hard to just push your prices in St. George, and you're just better off having, like you said, better, like, higher occupancy, you have good guests, they're not as much wear and tear, but it's at the end of the day, it's more money in your pocket. right?
Yeah, it definitely is a learning process as you go through trying to figure out the pricing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's testing. It's always testing, and you test your theories against the market. You have different strategies. Like I always hear people, and property managers are really famous for this, but they just automatically set in discounts as soon as you hit within 30 days or within 2 weeks. And some markets, that's not a really good thing to do. Like my average lead time in Georgia is 9 days. On a booking, like average. I mean, I get bookings all the time that are same day bookings, which is crazy, right? I mean, like this, we're talking on Thursday. It would be likely that my property, if it's not booked this weekend, it'll book tomorrow for the weekend. And it's a normal thing. Like when you look at that property, my calendar is almost never booked more than 30 days out. And just because my average lead time. But if I was there's a revenue manager actually that our property manager hired. And his philosophy is that he starts discounting at 30 days out. I said, no. Like, look at the numbers. This makes no sense to discount 30 days out because most of our bookings are coming in within 2 weeks, right? So 9 days, we just don't discount. We just have good competitive pricing and we just wait for that guest to come in. And so, but you would never do that in Orlando probably.
No. Oh,
right?
Yeah. You'd be like, I'd say our average lead time is 2.5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a totally different strategy.
And our target guests are multi-family,
multi-generational families.
Multi-generational.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of coordinating that goes into planning. For sure.
So they have to plan it
together.
And book it months in advance.
Yeah. I'm coming to a city near you. That's right. Me and my team of expert advisors are going to be traveling around the United States teaching people just like you how to acquire, manage, and market a successful short-term vacation rental. We're going to be hosting live 2-day events to help investors mitigate their risks and maximize their returns with short-term vacation rentals. At these live events, you're not only going to hear from me, but I'm going to also bring my team of experts, CPAs, lenders, photographers, designers, managers, and my marketing experts. So if you're looking to learn more about investing in profitable lifestyle assets, or you want actionable steps on how to revitalize your struggling property, then come join us live and in person where we can shake your hand, meet you, and get all of those questions answered. Tickets start at general admission and work their way up to ultra VIP. So you can buy your tickets today by clicking the link in the description or by visiting Eventbrite and searching Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass. Once again, click the link in the description or visit Eventbrite and search Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass to get your tickets today.
And so totally different pricing strategy, right? We're not even talking about the same type of guest, the same type of traveler. Ours are adults coming out of Georgia or Atlanta. They're driving 2 hours to go up in the mountains for the weekend. That's what they're doing. And so it's just a couples getaway or a couple's getaway. It's just a 3-bedroom, but it's set up for 3 couples to get away. And they just do it last minute. They're like, hey, do you guys want to go to the mountains this weekend? And that's who our target audience is. Your guys is down there is like, hey, listen, we're going to be, you know, we're getting the whole family together. We're going to Disneyland, Disney World. We're going to experience all of that Orlando has to offer. And this is a family vacation. We're planning it out in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of a learning process to figure out how to get our target audience versus getting locals that just want to come and have a weekend party.
Yeah.
So you've done quite a bit on figuring that out with how many nights they book and the rates.
So tell me, walk me through some of those things you're looking at.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of locals who are down there who almost seems like they have a chip on their shoulder that there's so many vacation rentals down there. They're just like, yeah, I'm just going to go and I'm going to trash the place and I'm going to have a weekend party. And so part of what we do is we limit our weekends to 4 nights. You have to book 4 nights. Yeah. And then we try to keep it, when we're more than, I think it's 60 days out, you have to book a minimum 5 or 6 nights. And so that way, that kind of helps us mitigate those problems and just help make it a better booking experience and make it better booking for us and then a better guest experience for us.
Yeah.
And when we first launched, we had to have a slightly lower rate and then have some of those guests. We had more of those guests initially, and now we're getting to the point where we're having more of our target guests coming in, which is great to be going that direction.
So the one we've got the under contract, you're under contract just recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not inspections done yet or anything.
Inspections,
how close are we
done
to closing?
So we put a 60-day time on the under contract. We got on under contract on Friday. we were able to get the inspector in on Saturday.
Yeah.
And so we're now waiting for an opening to do our appraisal. So yeah, it's a 60-day timeline, but we're doing well with it.
Good.
What other questions do you have?
Well, what I was trying to do is calculate that next setup time frame.
Oh, you know, yeah.
So we're talking
about an August 7th close, and then we're going to go down in – well, we're going to send our contractor in through September to go and do his rebuild and of – I think we got four rooms that he'll be doing for us. And then we'll go in and do another five or six rooms ourselves when he's done, so the end of September, early October.
And get ready for the holiday season, right?
Yeah.
Launch for the holiday season.
We'll launch mid to late October.
Awesome.
On that one. So up in time, just in time for the holidays.
Yeah.
And then get ourselves some reviews before our real big booking season between Christmas and Valentine's.
So we'll launch during the holidays, which is decent traffic down there during Christmas time and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people love to go down and see Disney decorated for Christmas. And so it's still plenty of traction down there during that time. And then the big time is the summertime, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Orlando's kind of interesting because it doesn't slow down off season. You have shoulder seasons.
September. September is the off season.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it.
Just that month.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Orlando's just one of those markets that just doesn't.
It's just a unique, interesting market.
I love that you're leaning in, succeeding there, doubling down there, going and getting that new property. Just because, for me, it's exciting when I hear that people are succeeding when from the outside, everybody's saying, oh, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And so, you know, I think you guys would agree with me. I always tell people that are owning properties that are listening, that are looking to maximize or even maybe struggling a little bit, that they're a lot closer to success most people are than they really realize.
Now,
it's not that easy. You know, there's a grind for a couple of months figuring it out and trying to get it ready and done and everything else, but they're not as far away from success as they actually probably think they are.
Yeah, and especially at probably the price they bought at and the loan terms that they have,
because
we're buying high and high interest rates, and we're going to make it work. So if they bought their house 3 years ago, they could have saved a couple $100,000 and got a much lower interest rate.
Way better basis, right? Just a much lower basis to start with.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what's next? I know you've got, Shane, you're working on a project right now. Are you going to, do we want to talk about the new launch of everything?
it's very, very early phase, but it's an AI property manager, handles communication.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything else, but it handles communication right now. It's a very early phase. We're just bringing on our very first beta testers right now.
Yeah. That's exciting.
And so that's watching this property in Orlando. I just realized 80% of the questions are always the same.
Right.
And so I trained an AI to answer our questions, and it's great.
And they answer them accurately. Like it's a person, like you're not jipping the guest with the question, answers.
Oh no, honestly, like
you train it.
Yeah.
You train it. And it comes like the way that our co-host down there would communicate, or even sometimes me, like it just doesn't always come off right.
Yeah.
And so, and I watch him message him like, oh, but the AI
puts perfect every time.
Nice touch on it. Super friendly, super helpful and accommodating. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. And you're just plugging it in. I mean, I'm not the tech guy. So, you know, as a programmer, like are you just plugging it into some of the systems and tools you already have? And makes it pretty easy.
Yeah, so it basically, like with an Airbnb integration, it checks your email or checks its own email. You add them as a co-host, and then it checks its email and takes their message and replies to it and responds via email, and then Airbnb delivers it. And so,
that's awesome. So we'll beta test it, and then we'll introduce it to the world. And
we'll
introduce it to Vodacy first, and then we'll introduce it to the world, right?
Our co-host, when we first started it up, he was kind of leery about it. And then over a little bit of time, he got to the point where he's like, oh, I'm not sure how to respond to this guest. Let's just ask the AI tool and get the AI's feedback.
Let's have the AI do it.
Yeah, it gives a better response, right?
It really does give a really good response.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, good guys. Listen, I know you guys are busy. You said we got swim lessons. We got everything going on today, right?
With kids stuff,
it's like it's all day deal. Summer times here, and I really appreciate you coming up and joining us.
Thanks for having us.
This is a great conversation. I know a lot of people have bought properties over the last few years, and they're wondering, has the game really changed? Because they're hearing it from a lot of people. I mean, it's the default answer from property managers is, oh, your property is actually doing better than most. The market's just changed. I can't tell you on a weekly basis how many times I hear a different property manager say that to somebody. And we look at the numbers, we're like, actually the market's not down, right? The market's actually going up. So let's figure out what we can do to raise the bar. And you guys are a shining example of raising the bar on properties that really, like you said, they were already good, you know, and that's really, really difficult to do. It's easy to come up when your back's against the wall or when you're at rock bottom, but when you're doing well, it's a really hard thing and a hard thing to say, hey, listen, I'm ready to raise the bar again. So congratulations on that. It's exciting to always hear that. And okay, so,
no, thanks. And thanks for all the help too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your resources have been awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, well, listen, we're so grateful to be a part of this journey with you guys and everybody who will trust us with it. And like you said, the devil's in the details, and a lot of it's not rocket science. It's just saying, hey, listen, we're really just dialing in this recipe that works. And when you plug it in and it works, then we just rinse and repeat. And so, you know, we're grateful to have people like you that'll actually execute and implement, and it makes it a lot funner, right?
Yeah. Which is exciting. And we're grateful for you and sharing all this information too.
Absolutely.
It's been fantastic to go through the process and to learn it and be able to get to the point where now we feel like we can just rinse and repeat and keep going.
And, you know, with our process, we probably would have eventually gotten to the point where you're at, but it was just really nice to be able to jump in and say, oh, okay, he's got a bunch of the systems, a bunch of the ideas figured out.
Saved
we don't have to spend years figuring that out.
Yes. And that's all we're trying. That's why I say, I'm like, it's not like you're not going to figure it out. If you stay long enough in the game, you're going to figure all the things that work, because you're going to do exactly what I did for a long time. You're just going to try it. And it doesn't work, you're going to try it. Something works, we keep that. We try something else, it doesn't work. It's just a process, right? And it just takes so much time. We're just trying to compress the time for you and say, hey, here's the baton. Don't do all this stuff. Don't test all the things that we did. Here's the baton and run with it.
Right.
And then now you can test other things that are working or not working that we haven't done yet. And that's what I love about Vodacy and our family, the Vodacy family, is that, like, selfishly for me, that's one of the big reasons that I was motivated to do it is, okay, listen, I'm kind of tired of, like, just figuring all this out on my own. Like, here's what we put together. Here's this recipe. But now our collective knowledge and experience is really second to none. I mean, because you've got the largest group of actual investors in the nation. And it's awesome to be able to tap into that collective knowledge base, because I can't even take credit for almost anymore that Vodacy recipe is my recipe. Like, I feel like, okay, we put this blueprint together, but everybody has had so much input and you know, an influence on it, that it's like, now I just say, it's our Vodacy signature recipe. This isn't Sean's signature recipe anymore. So it's really fun. And you guys are being a big part of that, right? And we'll continue to do that. So you're really paying it forward as well for other people, not only these types of conversations that people can listen in on, but as we kind of iterate and change and figure out what works, and then other people can implement it, we're just raising the bar all the way across the board, which is really fun.
Yeah. It's really fun to see the Vodacy process work now over a year out and looking back and seeing,
right,
this is really working. This is great.
It's awesome. Awesome, guys. Well, listen, we'll wrap it up. And so I appreciate you joining me. Thanks so much for coming in studio in Utah. We love Utah. And so it's always fun that people can come back in studio. And so those of you listening in with us today, we know how valuable your time is, and we appreciate you spending it with us. And so if you got value out of these conversations, we don't run any ads or sponsorships on these shows. And so the only way it grows is if you guys share it. So if you know somebody else that would like to be a part of these conversations, walk into the vacation rental game with their eyes wide open. Share it, like it, review it, whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things help us, and we very much appreciate it. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.